Talking linebackers, specifically 49ers sixth round rookie, that is D Winters out of TCU. A deep dive film scouting report on D Winters. Who is he? How does he fit in the 49ers defense? And what about this linebacker depth chart? One of the most underrated camp battles going into 2023. Coming up on today's Locked On 49ers.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker at BD Peacock at Eric underscore Crocker. Thanks everybody for making us your first listen right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Shout out to the everydayers out there. We love you. We appreciate you. And if you're not an everydayer, make sure you're subscribed up to Locked On 49ers on YouTube and everywhere you get your podcasts. Today's episode brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of the NFL. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. All right, we put on the tape and we've been doing this and kind of slowly going through all the 49ers draft picks. And, you know, we had watched a lot of them. I watched D Winters a little bit before the draft, watched him a little bit more right after the draft. And now we've watched him a little bit more and have a better idea of D Winters, the 49ers sixth round draft pick. And he's a very familiar type of player, Croc. That's the first thing that jumped out to me. Watch him and be like, I think I've seen guys like this before on the 49ers defense.
Looked a lot like a guy, Dre Greenlaw. And I think you're going to see that come up a lot. Not the biggest of guys, but definitely guys that play fast and more of an aggressive attacking style that they play with. And it feels like, and you never know. I mean, defensive coordinators, I feel like they all, we're going to play this attacking style defense. They all kind of say the same thing.
Every team drafted high character. They've got the stars and the dots. And I heard that because the 49ers draft was really all about the character players and like all these guys are wired a certain way and the way they play. And then I listened to John Schneider talk about the Seattle Seahawks draft and they're all like the blue dot and the green dot and they love the way they play. And then I was like, you know what? I bet 9 out of 10 draft picks, the thing that the team says about them is that they're a Colts player. This is a Texan through and through, right? This is a Cowboy player. He's got a star dot on next.
I'm waiting for them to say, this is typically not the type of guy we would draft, but man, he's just so talented. We couldn't pass on him.
It was kind of like, that's what John Lynch said about Moody. He's like, oh, we weren't really super excited about drafting a kicker, but I think we got the best kicker in the draft. I don't know. So
that goes to say that, you know, and we've talked about it. Sometimes they're a little too honest.
Yeah, exactly. But you're right. Defense coordinators always talk. That's the first thing Wilkes said. He's like, oh, we're going to get after it. You know, we'll blitz if we have to kind of thing. And it's like the 49ers don't blitz a lot. They like to get home with four. So, it'll be interesting to see how the 49ers deploy D Winters and how quickly he gets into the lineup for the 49ers. Because I think he might be playing behind Dre Greenlaw because they're very similar players. And I do like that comp. And it's the first thing that jumped out to me. You know, sort of a shorter, stockier, really athletic, active linebacker. And by the way, if they do blitz him a lot, we're talking about a dude in D Winters, 7.5 sacks last year, which kind of surprised both of us, Grant.
Yeah, it's surprising because he's not an edge rusher, right? When you think of a linebacker, fast, speed, 7.5 sacks, you know, you're thinking like, man, is he kind of coming off the edge? Is this a D Ford all over again, right? With just that type of ability. But no, he's like a true middle linebacker, kind of a stack backer. He's a guy who really utilizes speed. And I think TCU did an amazing job of saying, you know what? You are this type of backer, and we're going to put you in positions to where you're going to be the most successful. And with doing that, you got to see a lot of his high-end traits as well as just legit playmaking ability and also some things that kind of surprised me while watching this film as well.
So like Dre Greenlaw and like many of the 49ers linebackers, he transitioned going into college at some point from safety to linebacker. He was a highly recruited guy, multiple Power 5 offers, Arizona State, Arkansas, Texas Tech. And then once he enrolled, he went full-time into linebacker once he got into college there. And a lot of stats, played a lot of ball, started playing as a rookie in 2019 and then became the full-time starter as a sophomore. So 2020, 2021, 2022, played a lot of football games, started 36 games over the course of those 3 years. And obviously TCU had an awesome run this year. and he was an all Big 12 selection, led the team in tackles for loss with 14 and a half, mentioned the 7.5 sacks. He was Fiestival defensive MVP. Even had a 29-yard interception return for a touchdown as well. Team captain type of a player. So definitely a 49ers style of linebacker at 5'11", 227 pounds, a couple pounds heavier at his pro day. But really the key is, he's not the biggest, but 5'11 is not even that small, Croc. I think when you look at his arm length and his hand size, he's 31 3/4. 31 5/8, depending on, combine or pro day measurements there. So a little shorter arms, sub 32 inch and 9-inch hands, which is not very big. 8 5/8 inch hands, which is really small at the combine. Again, the combine and the pro day testing is kind of a little bit different how they measure up, but sort of short arms, small handed guy. And if you do see a weakness on tape, it's maybe, missing some tackles sometimes. And sometimes it has to do with, shorter armed and smaller handed guys. It's just a little bit harder for them to hang on sometimes. That's about the deficiency I see in his game from a pure run and go tackle linebacker.
Yeah, I would say, when you talked about the shorter arms and smaller hands, I'd say where that probably comes up the most and might be more of an issue at the next level is block shedding, right? Just offensive line being able to kind of reach the second level and get into his chest without him being able to kind of disengage by using more hand swipe or maybe long arm in the defender. Maybe, a lot of times I don't speak linebacker language, but you want to get in, press, and then be able to disengage an offensive lineman or anybody that's trying to block you. And when I'm used to doing that against receivers, I assume it's extremely difficult once those big guys get their hands on you. But that will probably be the place where you see probably where he's inconsistent with just the block shedding. Now, he's more than willing to do it. And that was one thing, especially on my second and third watch through, that I saw him do. You could see a bunch of times in the TCU versus Kansas State game, where he does do a good job of just, okay, I know where I'm going, but I have this guy coming at me. Let me shed this block and then go in and make a tackle. I watched him do it against Michigan a couple of times as well. And that will probably, again, be the thing that I'm most worried about. But seeing him do that is like, okay, at least he's willing to get in there and get some, block shedding done. So being able to utilize the speed, and I'd say as a 49er, if I'm a defensive coordinator, like Dre Greenlaw, like Fred Warner, I want to keep him clean. I think Fred Warner, when he's at his best, when Dre Greenlaw is at his best, they're coming in clean and then just being able to utilize their athleticism. And I would say, of all the backers the 49ers have, there is not a linebacker on this team that closes faster. And that's saying something, because Fred Warner is a monster when closing and running guys down, especially at an angle. But D. Winters closes so fast. Now, it could look like that because he's doing this in college, right? And in the NFL, it might look different. It's like, oh, maybe he's not as fast as it looked. But obviously, when you look at his timing, 40-yard dash, this is a guy that has good long speed. And when you see quarterbacks try to scramble, you see running backs running sideline side to side, and you see him close in and make those tackles, it's hard to not get excited by a player that has that type of ability, even more so than like the pick six that I saw in the Michigan game, right? Nice, dropped into his own, read the quarterback's eyes, picked the ball off, ran him for a touchdown. That's cool. But what I get from a down and down basis with that closing speed, and probably a big reason why he is able to have 7.5 sacks, because he's not a guy that's just rushing off of the edge. He sits back, picks his holes, knifes in there, and he's there before a quarterback can even blink. So he's going to be a weapon, even more so than anything for the 49ers, one that I'm definitely excited about.
Yeah, no doubt. I want to talk more about that gap shooting ability and his trigger and close, which is really the special thing and the thing you get really excited about watching D. Winters. 5'11", 230 pounds, give or take, depending on the day, it looks like. 4.49 speed, you mentioned there, Croc, at the combine, blazing fast for a linebacker. 1.54 10-yard, which is almost more impressive, actually, than the 4.49, and that speed does show up on tape. 30.5-inch vertical, 9'9", broad jump. He did run a short shuttle 4.46 at his pro day, and then threw up 20 bench press reps at his pro day as well. No 3-cone testing numbers for D. Winters. Next, Croc, more on D. Winters, what we saw from him, how he fits into the 49ers defense, and then a little bit about this competition, which is shaping up at the linebacker spot for the 49ers in training camp. Next. Today's episode of Locked On 49ers is brought to you by FanDuel. Make a fast break to FanDuel during NBA playoffs because right now new customers get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. You might want to go put money on the Lakers getting swept out of the playoffs. You can do that at FanDuel. You can bet on how many points Jokic is going to score. You can bet on NHL playoffs as well. It's not just NBA playoff season. It's NHL playoff season. Major League Baseball, summer long. You bet on sports like snooker and motorsports and tennis and soccer. They got you all covered there at FanDuel and NFL too. I mean, I know it's entering the dead season of the NFL right now, but you can bet on tons of NFL futures if you're excited about any team, especially those San Francisco 49ers. And there's no better place to bet on all the playoff action than America's number one sports book. So visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn and get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Okay, Croc. D. Winters. You started talking about it there, and I think we just need to, like, the big strength of this football player, when you watch D. Winters, it's the trigger and the closing speed and running dudes down, right? And I'm not surprised he's a good blitzer and getting after the quarterback because he's so good at seeing the gap, and when he sees it, he hits it, and when he hits it, he gets there in the blink of an eye. So that's the exciting part about this, and that's why there's all the comparisons to Dre Greenlaw.
Yeah, you see that type of ability, and again, it's hard not to see it. And that's the thing that gets me excited. Someone asked me about the type of players I like, and I'm always talking about these traits and things like that. I think it just comes down to I just really like athletic guys who have a lot, you know, really high upside. You know, and those are the type of guys that I'm just willing to take a chance on and keep swinging on. And when I look at him, and that's probably why he's my favorite player in this entire class, like, man, those things, they're consistent more than anything. I'm trying to figure out why he's a sixth-round pick. So do you have any guess? Do you think it's just more so of the lack of length? Or
yeah, absolutely. I think he is, quote-unquote, undersized. I don't think the 5'11", 230 is a problem at all in today's NFL. I mean, I think most teams would rather have look at the linebackers that were drafted early. You know, you got guys that are 6'4", 240 or whatever. But, I mean, 5'11", that's just not undersized in the NFL. And this is exactly what I love about the draft. This is why I talk about running backs and don't spend on running backs because you can find a starter in the sixth round. You can find a starting linebacker in the sixth round too. So this is the area to attack positions like linebacker and running back because you can find guys like this and you can find guys that can run and hit. And D. Winters can do that with the best of them. And I think length is, and it's, in fact, speaking of length, shout out to, I don't have it pulled up. One of our listeners who, it might've been in, I don't know if it was in the YouTube comments or on Twitter, said that everyone's comparing him to Dre Greenlaw. He actually thinks he compares better to another former 49ers linebacker in Quan Alexander because of the athleticism, how active he is. And Alexander was a little short-armed in that regard and did end up missing a lot of tackles at times, but the same type of idea. But that's what I'm talking about. This is a 49ers linebacker, whether it's Quan Alexander, whether it's Dre Greenlaw, whether it's, yeah, I mean, you know, I would say Marcelino McCrary Ball really fits that same mold of a player, undrafted player last year, who was going to be competing in this. And even Fred Warner, he was that overhang star position, sort of safety slash hybrid linebacker in college and wasn't the biggest guy as far as weight. And in fact, I think D. Winters weighed in heavier than Fred Warner did at the combine, but before he was drafted. But
Fred Warner, wasn't he like 235?
I think he might have gotten there, but I thought he was in the 220s because that's why he was
6'4". So that's part of it. He's not just the thickest of guy. And I think he has filled out a little bit more at the NFL level, but he was like almost 6'4". So at 6'4", 235, that makes sense. I mean, so D. Winters essentially is a kind of thicker, squattier player.
Right. Even if they're the same weight, then he's still, you know, thicker right at that weight. I'm looking at pro day. No, you're right. 236. He did show up at 236 at the pro day. Where's the combine?
Fred Warner. That's a big linebacker. And even for today's standards, we're talking about the lack of length for, you know, Dre Greenlaw or Winters. But Fred Warner is almost like a jumbo size guy at the linebacker position.
Well, now he is, but you know what's funny? And maybe that's why I didn't, I remembered him being lighter, because I think when Warner, a lot has changed in the NFL in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
I think 236 was looked at as kind of a little small.
Yeah.
Even then, you know?
It, oh, man. Definitely not the,
I just pulled up, I just pulled up Warner's profile, his draft profile, and seeing him without the longer hair, like he looks like a different person on this photo. This is so funny. I don't know why it got me, but yeah, it looks like a different person here. But yeah, 6'3", 236 at the combine.
Yeah. And it's like 6'3", and some change. I don't even think it was like just 6'3", flat. Are you talking about the picture like when he was drafted and then they showed the picture of him? Because I can see that.
The one like he's got a suit on?
Yeah. Yeah. He looks more like his brother than
yeah.
Him.
He does.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
not that it's not the Kirkland days. Remember, like, was it LaVon Kirkland, middle linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Kind of past those days in that.
Oh,
that
of the size. Right, exactly. Yeah.
Except for the kid from the Arizona Cardinals, not Simmons, who Isaiah Simmons, I mean, he's a big freak as well. But the other guy,
Zaven Collins.
Zaven Collins.
Yeah.
He doesn't look big like that, but he is 260 pounds.
Yeah, he's 260 pounds. But and also he's not really working out great for them right now because he's kind of a tweener. It's like when I saw him coming out, I was like, you might want to just make him an edge guy. Because it's all about coverage in the NFL. But that's a great segue, actually, Croc, because Warner was such a good coverage guy, and we've seen what he can do in the NFL. You know, former safety in Dre Greenlaw was a good coverage guy. And D. Winters, I think there has to be a little bit more projection, for me at least. And I don't know if you saw anything different in the games that you watched, but and I think it was almost like a scheme thing, and it's not necessarily D. Winters' fault, because it's like you put your heels in a spot and you don't go backwards. It's almost like they coached him that way. It's like, you're never going backwards. You put your heels right here and you only go forward. Cause there was I think it was against Oklahoma. There was a big play with 49ers seventh round pick, Braden Willis, getting behind the linebackers at TCU. And they're like, oh, cool. Linebacker going behind me. I don't care. I'm just looking this way. And I was like, oh, that's weird. Like, cause I wanted to see that. I was like, oh, let's see him pick up and carry, Braden Willis, and he didn't do it. So I don't think they were coached to. And he was a former safety, and he runs 4.49, so you would think he'd be good in coverage, but it was really hard for me to see that. And if anything keeps him off of the field for the 49ers, it'll probably be, you know, things like shedding blocks and coverage and those types of things, because as far as run and hit, he's got that, and he will always have that.
I really like that you brought that up, because I did note some things about the coverage, and there's a lot of spot dropping. And anybody that's watched me, you know, on social media and kind of looked at some of my defensive back takes or just really coverage takes in general, I am not big on spot dropping. I feel like 49ers did that a lot early on with Robert Saleh, where he snapped the ball, they kind of dropped to a certain area, and then everybody just has their eyes on the quarterback kind of cluing him. Well, now they've gone to a lot more kind of match type coverage, where you're kind of seeing, you'll kind of drop to an area, but see who's kind of coming into your zone, and then you can kind of carry that. 49ers have done a lot of that. I think D. Winters, as a pure coverage guy, we're going to see a better, well, I don't want to say a better version, but a more productive version in a sense of having a feel for the type of coverage skills he has by going to the NFL and doing more of the match type stuff as opposed to just dropping into space and just kind of keying the quarterback and then, okay, what does he do? We did see the pick six against Michigan, but I think what's going to be consistent, the NFL, you know, the quarterbacks can manipulate you with their eyes, even with how quick they do it. You know, they'll snap the ball and say, go, boom, and they'll look right at you and then, whoop, go the other way or throw somewhere else, and the ball comes out now. So you kind of have to have an idea of what guys are, you know, what concepts that I might see and be able to kind of squeeze those to kind of close those windows, shrink those windows down. And you watch him with his athletic ability, I think you could do more with him. I didn't see a whole lot of man coverage at all with him. And for a linebacker with his profile, I'm excited to see him cover some linebackers. What does it look like? Training camp, hopefully we get credentials. Come on, 49ers. All right, but training camp, they're going to be doing the one-on-ones. What does it look like with him running vertically? The thing that worries me a little bit, you mentioned his kind of agility drills. Not great. So how does he do again? And I talked about TCU, utilizing him to his strengths and letting him just be that freak athlete that he is. I wonder how much his maybe lack of lateral movement from a testing standpoint impacts his ability to coverage guys, cover guys in more of a one-on-one type setting. But I am interested in seeing that at training camp.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. It's going to be a lot of fun. But overall, you mentioned how you said it was maybe your favorite pick for the 49ers. I feel similar. You watching him play. It was an easy evaluation. You feel good at the very worst early in his career as he figures things out in the NFL. And look, they've got Dre Greenlaw playing in front of him at that Will linebacker spot. He can play special teams. He was on, I believe it was both coverage units in college as well. Regular on punt and punt return and punt coverage, actually, in college. So there you go. So D. Winters, really good player. I think you could project him to potentially being a future starting weak side linebacker in the NFL. Nice player. He's going to have a path to playing time early in his career, even if it's just on special teams as well. So good pick for the 49ers. I like this one. I want to talk a little bit more, though, about that plan at linebacker for the 49ers, Croc. If D. Winters does turn out to be a starting caliber weak side linebacker like his predecessor, Dre Greenlaw, has been, what that could look like going forward, what that training camp battle could look like for the 49ers at linebacker with the other rookie linebacker in Jalen Graham and some of the returning players and that competition in camp next. Thanks again, everybody, for making Locked On 49ers your first listen right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Shout out to the Everydayers. We're going to talk quarterbacks. We're going to talk Trey Lance's new motion when we get to see that in OTAs later on in the week. Of course, Winky Wednesday and everything all summer long, getting you ready for training camp and some more rookies to break down as well. Draft picks and undrafted free agents for the San Francisco 49ers daily. Okay, so Croc. Dre Greenlaw only has one more year left on his contract after this season. He had that 2-year extension last year, which means he's signed through 2023 and 2024. I want to throw a couple things by you. One, do you think this is potentially just a straight up right now you're going to back up Dre Greenlaw and learn everything you can because we're going to let him walk and you're going to be the starting weak side linebacker eventually? Or do you think there's more competition for D. Winters than just that straight lineage? I mean, this is a 6th round pick. It's hard to say. Oh, future starter, 6th round pick, right? But I feel more confident in Drake. I feel as confident in D. Winters being, a highly productive player for a long time with the 49ers as, guys they drafted in the 3rd round.
I think that the part that we just don't know, right? Like just who he is. So when we talk about just potentially a starter, being excited about him, it's all off of what he's done on the field, his athletic traits and the upside, the ability, like all of those things. But not knowing who the person is, like that's the hardest part. And the 49ers have identified guys that just fit. And I wonder, I talked about why is he a 6th round pick? I wonder if that could be part of it, where it's like, hey, terrific athlete, closing speed is great, highly productive. Played 4 years at TCU, but kid's kind of dumb as rocks. Like, so you're kind of taking a chance there. But then if I'm a team, it's like, well, I'll take a chance on that type of player in the 6th round. So if he doesn't get it from that standpoint, don't hold any of this scouting report against us. All right. Because we're not privileged to that type of information. But I think if everything checks out and he's one of these smarter players like the 49ers have gotten, then of course you're going to look at him as someone who potentially is in a straight line to kind of be the successor to Dre Greenlaw. And you'll never want to lose a Dre Greenlaw, but, you're going to have to keep this roster going. You're going to have to pay a lot of guys. And, you gave him a 2-year extension. He could play out this year. You lose nothing by letting him go the following year. And you hope that Winters is the long-term guy. And listen, all these NFL players, they understand the business side of things. Okay, I remember being right there and the New York Jets drafted D. Milliner. And first thing that came out of my guy Antonio Cromartie's mouth was, I'm not going to be here next year. Like, he knew what time it was. Now, again, that's different. D. Milliner was 9th overall pick, and we're talking about a 6th round pick here. But once you see that kind of happening and how they start to, let's get you a few more reps here, right? The writing is on the wall for the veteran. And Greenlaw will go somewhere else and make a lot of money. I think he's going to go somewhere. If he has another good year, 49ers let him go. He'll go somewhere and make a lot of money. Maybe they try to trade him. They could do that as well. But I do think it's being set up for Winters to step in and, all right, now you get to play next to Fred Warner. And I think Fred Warner makes it easier for a guy playing alongside of him just because he demands so much attention. Because if you don't give him attention, then he's slicing in there making plays. But then if you have winners, man, that should be really exciting for 49er fans in their front office to just have that type of prospect.
You know, and something we haven't really talked about, and, you know, knock on wood, you don't want injuries to happen, but you have to be prepared for injuries. And Azeez Al-Shaair was the backup to Fred Warner at middle linebacker last year, and he's gone now. So that, along with seeing what Winters looks like in coverage, is he going to be strictly playing that weak side linebacker? Is he going to get some work at middle linebacker, the inside spot behind Fred Warner as well? And there's some crossover with those two positions. And you'd think that if you can play the weak side, you probably play the middle, or especially if you can play the inside spot, that you can play weak or strong side linebacker. And we saw Azeez Al-Shaair able to do all of those things, but we don't really have a true backup right now for Fred Warner versus last year, because the guy is gone. So where does he line up? And Croc, it's funny because we watched Jalen Graham and we watched Winters now, and it's clear to both of us, like, we've talked about him as a weak side backer, and I think Jalen Graham's a strong side backer kind of only, which I think hurts Jalen Graham's ability to make the roster versus some other more versatile players, because it's like, oh man, he feels like really kind of a two down only strong side backer, you know? And if you're not going to be a good special teamer either, then you might lose that roster battle versus someone else who could play middle and weak and play on special teams, right? Which I think D. Winters probably can. But do you want to talk about why we see the difference in the weak side versus strong side with these two guys?
Yeah, it's probably going to be out in space and more because of the athletic traits and what you could trust. I will say with Graham, the one thing that was very clear, I like him in coverage versus tight ends. Now, you don't want him playing too far away from the line of scrimmage. I think that's the difference right there between him and looking at Winters, right? Winters, he can drop back and he's, 10, 12 yards off the ball. And I feel comfortable with him in space and the closing ability that he has. Even, we talked about it to quarterbacks, but to receivers as well. I've seen him look like a missile, and you don't quite get that from Graham. You want him near the line of scrimmage, setting the edge, or near the line of scrimmage, one-on-one with a tight end. The further he gets away, the more a team might try to attack him, like his weaknesses. We talked a lot about Kyle Shanahan and some of his slow starts and how maybe it could be because of how he calls offense, right? Does he need to see a few games of exactly what the defense is doing? So by week four, week five, week six, and so on, it's like, hey, I know what these teams are doing, I know all these players and what they like to do, and now I can attack this weakness of this guy, and that's why you see the 49ers get better as the year goes on. If that's the case for other coordinators and they see a guy like Graham out there and they're like, little stiff leg, not as great around, past the line of scrimmage. Let's start trying to see if we can isolate him out in space and use that to our advantage. And I think for the 49ers, we don't want that. So let's keep him here. And he does feel more like a two down guy. Even though it's two downs, one might be a passing down. But in that situation, he's more manned up on the tight end, which I think he has a good strength at.
Now, I will say, when you were looking at this training camp battle at linebacker, Winters, we like the tape and, we're excited about him, but he was a sixth round pick. Jalen Graham was five picks away from being undrafted. So there's going to be some competition. The 49ers right now have Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner locked in. I think Oren Burks is a really good special teams guy. I think he's going to have to compete a little bit for the strong side backer role, which is the least used of the three starting linebacker spots. But he's a really good special teamer. It'd be hard to see him not making the roster, but he's going to have to compete. And so is Demetrius Flanagan Foles. And so is Curtis Robinson, who's been a special teamer for the 49ers. He's going to have to compete with the two draft picks, D. Winters and Jalen Graham. But Marcelino McCrary Ball is a really interesting one too, because despite having the number 40 last year, it was kind of ugly linebacker number, in my opinion, but he is a former safety and he was only, I think, 215 pounds coming into the draft last year. So he's converted safety to linebacker. He was active. I loved what I saw from him in camp and preseason last year. 6 feet, 215. I'm sure he's in the 220s by now. He ran 4.51 at his pro day, 35.5-inch vertical. Pretty good three cone, pretty good shuttle numbers, benched 23 times. And so he's an interesting player. And I think he's going to compete for a job, and it's going to be a difficult cut down. And so I don't know if it's going to be one of the rookies that gets cut for Marcelino McCrary Ball, or if it's Demetrius Flanagan Foles or Curtis Robinson or whoever it is. But I'd like Marcelino McCrary Ball to make the roster. And I think it's going to be a really fun competition, and the rookies better come in ready to play in camp.
Yep. Gotta be ready, and gotta be ready to kind of kiss butt to the special teams coordinator. Yeah. And I think for these guys who are drafted late, at the end of the day, you want to be active on game day as a rookie. And well, first of all, you want to make this team, and then you want to be active. You got to be good on special teams. And this is the thing. You talked about some of these guys. They've been there. Oren Burks, Demetrius Flanagan Fowles, Marcelino McCrary Ball. Like, these are guys, they've been with the 49ers now for a while, especially like Flanagan Fowles. I feel like he's just been hanging around for the last 3 years, 4 years with the 49ers. So he's not just going to give up his spot. And when you see him active, what is he doing? Playing special teams. And the one thing I noticed, you know, getting to the NFL, there's not as much of a difference between some of the guys that are closer to the bottom of the roster. There's not this huge gap of separation. So you do have a Dre Greenlaw or Fred Warner. And outside of that, there's not a huge drop off. Even from Dre Greenlaw to, gosh, you just said his name, Aziz, right? Like,
right.
Between Dre Greenlaw and Aziz, how much of a drop off was it? There was a time where people were saying that. Is Aziz better than Fred Warner? I didn't say that, but there were people that asked me that from other teams, like, hey man, who the hell is 51? Right? So that just shows you that gap sometimes can be smaller than what most people think. So when you look at a guy like Winners, who I like, and I think the thing that works to his advantage more than maybe even Graham is, man, I got this high level thing that I can flash this at any point, and you can't do that, and you can't do that. But for Graham, man, you know, he's a little bit more standard. As a late round guy, he's going to have to try to really flash in different ways, and it's going to be special teams.
Niners broke camp with 6 linebackers last year, and Aziz Alshehir was one of them. He's gone. The 49ers still have Oren Burks and Demetrius Flanagan Foles and Curtis Robinson behind Greenlaw and Fred Warner. But I wouldn't be shocked if you know, a couple of those guys don't make it, because they drafted two rookies, and you've got Marcelino McCrary Ball coming back. So it's going to be a fun competition there at linebacker. And yeah, that's going to give you clues. Watch those preseason games. Who's on the first unit special teams? That'll give you a pretty good indication of who's going to make the roster. I think there's another undrafted rookie on the team as well that was brought in. Let's see, Mariano Sorimarin, who's a player I have not watched at all. Don't know anything about Mariano at linebacker, although he's wearing number 51, and he's out of Minnesota, 6'2", 236. So there you go. He's similar size to Fred Warner when he was coming out of college. By the way, Jalen Graham, number 50, good number. That makes me feel like they feel good about him making the roster with number 50. And 53 to D. Winters is like, lock him in. You're not going to give somebody number 53, right? With 49ers lineage at linebacker, unless they're going to be somebody who can play.
I wanted to see D. Winters in third. Now it's Brock Purdy's number, but I want to see him in a number that like makes him look as fast as he is. And I don't know if 53 is going to do it for him, because it's just a bigger, bulkier number. But I would have liked to see him in one of those single-digit numbers. I think the tight end from Oklahoma got number 9. Like, give D. Winners number 9. Like, I want to see that guy look fast.
Yeah, Brayden Willis was 9 in college, so he's still going to wear that number 9, which I like that for him, especially if he's a guy who's going to move around a lot. D'Amador Lenore, number 2, by the way. Was he 38?
38, nasty.
Yeah. That's an ugly number. So, yeah, so that's a
he's
big
he's going to rock that, too. We'll see if that makes him look faster. But speaking of 2, okay, we're going to move on to number 3. And it has just been approved, so this is kind of breaking news, all right? The NFL passes a rule change to allow a third active quarterback without using a roster spot. So we can probably officially name that the San Francisco 49ers rule.
Wow. Right there. There you go.
But that's okay. Huge.
Breaking news. That is huge.
That's huge. So that's according to Bleacher Report as of, I don't know, I saw it pop up on my phone about 15 minutes ago, so.
Oh, that's fantastic stuff. All right, so we've got more quarterback conversations coming this week, too, with our quarterback guru, Greg Pinelli. So we'll definitely talk more about that, talk about throwing motions, recoveries from injury, and what the 49ers training camp competition at quarterback is going to look like right here, Locked On 49ers.